Welcome to Chit Chat Money. Today we have our deep dive episode. We are talking Fiverr with Chris, our friend Chris. And if you're not familiar, this is the first time we'll be doing this format. It's a bit like our 25 stocks of Christmas format from a long time ago, if you listen to those. But what we have is on Tuesday, it's not so deep dive. That's with Ian or Brad, and that's just us covering the basics of the company.
Same format we've been doing in the past.
Right. And then a Thursday is our deep dive episodes. That's where we'll have on a guest like Chris, where we consider them to be an expert on a specific company. And that's more of us just asking questions and getting their takes on the company. But before we talk about Fiverr specifically, we got a word from our sponsor, Quarter. I've been using the app pretty frequently, actually. I'm now becoming like a real customer.
You're an MAU.
Yes, I am a satisfied MAU. I don't know if it's monetizable yet, but basically, if you don't know what Quarter is, you can listen to all your conference calls. You can look at transcripts. They have those up pretty fast, so you can go download it on your iPad, I guess. That's where I like to read the transcripts. They have investor presentations, and it all gets uploaded really fast, which is super nice. And they have tons of companies, and you can also recommend companies. It's 100% free. It's on Android. It's on iOS. Go download it. You can follow them at Quarter_app. No E, so Quarter_app.
Search it in your app store, you'll find it.
Now, how did you like the interview?
It was great. We just finished it up, so we're kind of doing a reverse chronological order. We're time traveling on you, but it was awesome. Chris is always great. I mean, we were on before with him talking C Limited. Seemed there was a lot of reception with that one. People liked it. This was similar. Fiverr is an interesting company, and it's a high growth stock. It was one of those that got affected potentially by COVID. So we go into a little bit of those dynamics, and they have four or five different growth initiatives that sounded really promising. I mean, they're again, this isn't a stock pitch or anything on our part, but it sounded like they're making tons of headway into the freelance industry and trying to bring that into an optimal online environment. And yeah, there's a lot of good information. That's all I can say. We didn't cover every little thing, but I think anyone can have quite a few takeaways from this episode.
All right. Without further ado, let's get to the interview.
Welcome to Chit Chat Money. On this show, hosts Ryan Henderson and Brett Schaefer interview industry experts and riff on the world of investing. As a quick reminder, Chit Chat Money is a CCM Media Group podcast. Ryan and Brett are also general partners at Arch Capital, and Arch Capital may have positions in the securities discussed in this podcast. Anything discussed on Chit Chat Money by Ryan or Brett or any other podcast guests is not formal advice or recommendation. Now please enjoy this episode.
All right, today we are welcomed by Chris. It's From Growth to Value. You are probably familiar. If you listen to the show on a regular basis, you are very familiar with the service, Potential Multibaggers. Chris, why don't you kind of, for anyone that doesn't know you, introduce yourself a little bit and then talk about Potential Multibaggers.
Yeah, well, I'm Chris at From Value on Twitter. I started with Potential Multibaggers, actually the series, in 2017. First pick was Shopify, which is more than a 20 bagger right now. And, I made it into a subscription service, and not Shopify, of course, but Potential Multibaggers. And, I started doing this full time a bit more than a year ago now. And what I do is I try to find, Potential Multibaggers. The title already says it all. I try to find companies that can go up, several times in value, and several times over. And what I mean is, a potential multibagger for me should have the potential to go 10x over the next 10 years. So that's about 26% per year on average, which is high. But you also, I look at a lot of criteria and deep analysis. When I start, when I pick a stock, I'm always invested together with my multis, as the subscribers are called. And I research deeply. So I give at least 5 articles and then updates weekly if there's anything. So, it's quite concentrated. I've made 23 picks now and sold a few. And, you know, we're doing great. We're beating even the NASDAQ by 100% per pick on average. So that's quite good, I think.
Yeah, the performance speaks for itself. And the company we're going to be talking about today is Fiverr. We're going to hope to get an overview on that, how you found it. But let's, you know, we're going to have some deeper questions about the stock and the company. But first, how did you find Fiverr? When did you find Fiverr maybe? And how long have you followed it?
Well, let's make a distinction here between the company and the stock. And I found Fiverr as a company years ago. You know, I wanted a logo, not for potential multi-baggers, but for a running competition, which I organized, and that was, I think, 2015, and you know, I think I got probably I tried 7 or 8, you know, sellers on Fiverr, and you know, the quality was lesbian friendly, not as I wanted, and you know, in the end, I just, you know, took a local guy here specialized in logos, paid him a lot more, and but it was good. So when the stock IPO'd in I think June of 2019, initially I was not really interested because of that you know, experience that I had. And then during the pandemic, it started rising, and I thought, well, okay, I don't want it, it's probably not going to last. And then at that moment, I read Clayton Christensen's book about disruptive innovation. And in that book, you know, I learned about disruptive innovators, that they're seen as very low quality at first. So, and you know, you have better players in the market, and that was Upwork, which was a combination of Elance and I forgot the other one. So it was a merger, and Upwork was seen as, you know, the big boy in this space, and you know, reliable, big companies use it, etc. And Fiverr was seen as, you know, junk actually, and I had that idea as well. And then I read Christensen's book. By the way, Matthew Prince, the CEO of Cloudflare, you know, Clayton Christensen has been his professor, and he you know, unfortunately, Christensen died, but he wrote a note to Matthew Prince that, you know, he had been following all along, and he still wanted to help if he wanted to help. I always think that is a great story. But let's get back to Christensen's book. A disruptive innovator is often seen as, you know, really low quality and appealing just to a certain low quality niche. And well, of course, there, you know, Fiverr checks all the marks. But because it's seen as low quality, it also has much more freedom to experiment. And that's what disruptive innovators do. And they, you know, they because of that constant experimentation, they, you know, they improve much faster. They listen to what their users want. And, you know, at a certain moment, they overtake the incumbent you know, players in the market. And when I read that, I thought, oh my God, I have to look at Fiverr. I really have to look at Fiverr. And what I saw was exactly that process going on. And it's still going on. And, you know, everything that I have seen, you know, it's about a year ago or so, I think that I looked at Fiverr again, well, not again, but for the first time as a stock then, because and everything I saw then, you know, pointed me to the disruptive innovation that Christensen talked about. And everything that I have seen in the last year has only accelerated that. And I think that, you know, you can discuss about Upwork versus versus Fiverr, and a lot of things, a lot of people will say, you know, I see more quality in Upwork, and it's used by bigger companies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And sure, of course, but you know, those kind of companies have they get better over time, but slower than the disruptive innovator. And in this case, to me, it's very clear that Fiverr is that disruptive innovator. And you know, what I have seen in the last year is only, you know, it's only accelerating together with its revenue growth. And I think that will continue. And at a certain moment, there will be no doubt anymore who's the leader in this space. And, you know, we, if you look back at a lot of companies, you know, think about, you know, Netflix and Blockbuster. You know, a typical example, Netflix was seen as, you know, low quality, or it's just a niche. Who wants to mail DVDs, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, it just innovated that much faster. And that's why it completely crushed Blockbuster. I'm not saying that Fiverr will crush Upwork. I think they both have, you know, positives. But I think, it, you know, if we look, you know, in 10 years time, and I always invest for the long term, I think it will be very clear that Fiverr will be, you know, by far the leader in the space.
So talk a little bit more about Fiverr's business model. What do they do? And then why do you like it as an investment?
Yeah. And that's also something, one of the problems that I had initially as a user then of Fiverr was that I, you know, I was not used to what they do. And it's completely different. If you go to Upwork, you know, you hire a freelancer, almost like you do if you go to, you know, a local guy that you know, or girl. And, you know, you just say, oh, I want a logo. And he or she will make the logo, or maybe five, you know, designs and that you can choose and whatever. With Fiverr, it's a bit different. They have made services into products. So their services are, you know, more standardized than that's not really a great word, but whatever. They are made into products. So a service as a product, and that's actually what Fiverr sells. And you know, you have to know quite well what you want. You know, I want a logo. It has to be, you know, it has to be yellow, and it has to look more or less like this logo that I got from the internet or from your references that you show me. You know, you have lots of people with lots of styles. You have to, you know, you have to choose the one that, you know, appeals to you, so you can see their portfolios, etc. So that's actually what Fiverr does. And you know, in so many markets, I'm talking about logos now because that's so cliche and one of the first use cases for a lot of people for Fiverr. But you know, if you want to make an app, you can do that on Fiverr as well. If you want to let someone else produce this podcast, you can do that on Fiverr. You can have voiceovers. You can have, you know, and I'm just saying a few things that come to my head because they're somehow in my world, but there's so many things, so many software related things as well. You know, if you want, last week I had a Twitter Spaces about Fiverr and a guy came on and he said that he let somebody on Fiverr write a personalized erotic story, for example. That's possible. And he said it was really good. But it, by the way, it was not about himself. It was about a threesome between Warren Buffett, Charlie Munger, and who was it? I don't remember.
Oh, the woman. Man. What? You could, I mean, that's exactly, you can get anything. You can get anything on Fiverr.
You can get anything on Fiverr. Yeah. Yeah. So, and he went for the really quirky things and funny things. And you know, it's I saw someone, I don't know if it was a joke or not, but I saw someone who could be, you know, a pretty woman dressed all in black who could come to your funeral to stand on the side to look mysterious, that to make it seem like you have a secret lover or so, just $500.
That's another example of you could do anything on Fiverr, or that's a great advertisement by someone to get either Fiverr itself or to get someone to use Fiverr.
So, yeah, sure. So
just to kind of dive a little deeper into it. So does someone post a listing basically, like they say, hey, I want a job, or is it someone offering their services? Where does the bidding come in, I guess?
Yeah, well, it's actually you, or traditionally, because there are new lines of businesses there, but we'll talk about that later. But basically, you know, you want something. Let's take the iconic logo again. You want a logo, you go on Fiverr, you search for logo, you see different styles, vintage or modern or whatever. You click there, you see different people offering their services. You go through their portfolios. At a certain moment, you say, you know, I like these logos. I want my logo to be in this style as well. You click on that. You can ask a few questions to the seller, and if you have a feeling that this will be it, you can buy. Mostly, you can buy one of three products. Basic, standard, and premium, and you know they have difference. For example, premium will have unlimited revisions, and you'll have the source file, etc., etc. So you choose one of the three. Of course, for premium, you have to pay a bit more, and then the seller starts working. And you know, he or she makes the logo, send it to you, and then you can say, well, I want a bit more this or that, or it's completely not what I want, it's something completely different from what I want, because I want this and that and that and that. And then they keep working until you say, yes, that's what I want, I accept it, and then the payment goes through. So that's how it works.
So is the payment like held by Fiverr, or like when does that payment actually occur?
Yeah, the payment is held by Fiverr because it's safer than for both parties, because you know if you're a seller, and that's one of the one of the big advantages, I think, for both for buyers and for sellers, you've got that safety, because if I have to pay upfront as a buyer and I don't get what I want, I feel cheated. And if someone, makes 10 logos and the buyer says, yo, I don't want them, that guy feels cheated, or girl feels cheated as well. So Fiverr is actually, the bank there, which keeps the money and pays, the seller once the customer is happy.
Now, let's go through the unit economics a bit, because a lot of people may want to learn about that. Say there's $100 being spent by someone buying a service on Fiverr. What's going to Fiverr itself and what's going to the seller in a typical transaction? And if there's any differences and any new, different types of products that they sell, you can go into that as well.
Well, on average, $27.4 last quarter goes to Fiverr on that $100. So they have a take rate on the platform of 27.4%, which is very high, which is more than double that of Upwork, for example. So Upwork has a take rate. It went down a bit in the last quarter, 0.5%, and it's somewhere around 13 now. Fiverr could still, despite the fact that they already had 27%, they could still let it grow to 27.4% take rate. And all the rest goes to the seller. So that's quite simple, actually. Fiverr has a take rate of 27.4%.
Okay. And then I guess we'll talk about the other products later, but Ryan, do you have the next one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess, what what's sort of the biggest risk? You talked about Upwork. Is there, I guess, what could go wrong with this investment?
I think, you know, the best investments, I always look for the bear case and risk, et cetera. And the very best investments have something in common that it's very hard to come up with a bear thesis. You could say that it's, you know, highly valued, sure. I mean, but if you look out for the long term, I think that's less important. But, you know, one of the risks that I thought initially could be a problem, and a lot of people who don't know Fiverr that well or have not used it as a, you know, as a buyer or seller, you know, one of the risks that I thought would be, you know, would be important, but is actually not, is, you know, circumventing the platform. So, you know, you're a seller, I'm a buyer, you know, let's just work together without Fiverr taking 27.4%, right? That's what you would think. But Fiverr, you know, has been really smart in that way, because, and it, you know, they're even making it better. Let me explain. You already have that, what I said, the money is already something, okay, you know. But as a seller, you know, let's say that I go off platform with you. If Fiverr finds out, you're off the platform, yeah? And you don't have new jobs coming from Fiverr. Also, if you go on the platform for too long, you know, your ratings are gone. You don't show up, you know, if you look for a logo, there are probably thousands and thousands of sellers. If you're a good worker, you know, you'll be at the top. If you leave the platform for a few months, you know, you will go down. So that's another reason to stay on the platform. Those are you know, really, really important things to know already. And Fiverr is even making it better, because, you know, they start working now with subscriptions for the sellers. So for $29 a month, and it's still in the testing phase, but the results are incredibly good, Fiverr says. So for $29 a month, you know, you get lots of perks. So, for example, you get a dedicated success manager. Yeah. So if I'm a seller, I want to sell something. I want to sell, you know, how to invest in stocks, right? A course, for example. I have to start out. If I pay that subscription as a seller, I get someone who helps me to position, to say how I should sell my service, how I can, you know, have success. I get a personalized success manager, right? I get faster payments. What else?
Reduced take rate, or is it still the same?
No, the take rate is still the same. But for example, I get priority support if I need support. Very important. I can give coupons to certain clients that come back. I get much better analytics, which help me again to grow my business, etc., etc., etc. And this is just the starting phase, right? So Misha Kaufman, the founder and CEO of Fiverr, has said that, you know, they saw great success with a subscription, and that they want to build it out like some sort of Prime for sellers. He talked about Amazon Prime for sellers then, and because they want to add more and more and more and more services in that subscription.
Right. And I guess one more, you kind of mentioned it before we hit the ad break, is what are your thoughts on management? How important is it to your thesis here?
Could you repeat the question, please?
Oh, no worries. What are your thoughts on management? You mentioned the founder there. How important is that to your thesis on Fiverr?
Management is always very important to me, because I think still a lot of investors don't look at management enough, because, you know, it's so important. Why? Because companies are made by people. It's as simple as that. You know, we're talking here because you guys took the initiative, you know, to ask me to come into your podcast, right? And that's also how it works in huge companies. What people do makes a lot of difference. So you want the best management there possible, right? And Misha Kaufman is a very good CEO. Initially, I thought, you know, the first quarters I looked back then, once I started researching Fiverr, I thought he was sometimes a bit nervous on conference calls, etc. But, you know, probably English is not his first language, and which I can understand. I was kind of nervous as well. And it's, you know, if I make a mistake, it's not that bad if you make a legal mistake as a CEO. I think, you know, you can be a bit nervous about that. But if you hear his conference calls now, and I would encourage everybody to listen to the last conference call, he's a very straight talker. He's, you know, very honest. He gives a lot of details when the analysts ask questions. He really wants to explain to people what's going on, et cetera, et cetera. He's not who talks around the problem. He just says it as it is. And by the way, his co-founder was Shai Wininger, the founder and I don't think he's the CEO now, or is he, of Lemonade?
Yeah, I don't think he's CEO, but I think he's definitely a founder.
Yeah, CEO or something. I don't know. Or CTO. I don't know exactly, but you know, he was the co-founder of Fiverr, and you know, left after 5 or 6 years because he wanted to to found a Lemonade. And you know, the CFO, I forgot his name now, he's also very, you know, he sounds reliable. And you know, I really encourage people to listen to it. I read a lot of conference calls, but this is one to listen to because you can hear the sincerity, I think. And so yeah, if you hear him talk about what he wants to I'm talking about Misha Kaufman now. If you hear him talk about what he wants to accomplish with Fiverr, you know, it's no promo talk. It's from the heart. He's living that every day. And, you know, he also, you know, when he talks about something, he also executes on it and comes back to it. It's accountable for himself as well as for the others. And I mean, he's a big part of why I like Fiverr so much. He has a big stake in the company as well. It's not that big of a company in the market cap wise, I think $8 billion, somewhere around that. But $500 million of that is, in Misha Kaufman's portfolio.
Right. And they put up the numbers that, you know, show that when they say something, they have that, they're establishing that track record. They're establishing that track record so far. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you look at, revenue growth, Fiverr fell almost 25% on the last earnings call because they lowered their guidance, which they had, you know, raised 2 times in a row, significantly. And they lowered their guidance by 7% or so. The stock dropped 24%, which I found funny because if you listen to what he said, I think it was being conservative as well. He talked about hyper seasonality, and you know, we have heard that from other CEOs now too. You know, Pinterest was an example. Roku was an example where the CEO said, "Well, we have not seen this before." And the best analysis, you know, came from Misha Kaufman, and therefore alone, it's already worth listening to the conference call as well, because you can also apply it to other companies. And he talks about hyper seasonality, and he said, we factored in seasonality, but what we see now we have never seen before. Now people have been tied to their screens so much that they really run now, and they want to go out, and they want to go to restaurants, and they want to meet people and family, and that's why they don't spend that much time on screens, and especially their market, the SMB market, so small and medium-sized businesses. You know, if you're a freelancer and you say, you know, the weather is good now and in the next week, let's go on holiday. I know nobody will say, no, you're not allowed. You have to ask your boss first. So they, you know, they just leave for 3 weeks or a month or so. And that's what Fiverr sees. And that's why they lowered their guidance. But, you know, I'm saying conservative in that way that they say, oh, we just were surprised by this. That's hyper seasonality. And, you know, we have accounted for the rest of the year that it will remain like this, which I don't think will be the case. I mean, people, yeah, they want to go out more as so, but, you know, once you know, it's autumn, let's say, I think everybody will go back to their screens and more and more. And, you know, I actually quite like it to be a conservative guy and, you know, then, you know, beat that estimates and, you know, versus, you know, keeping your guidance and then, you know, missing on the earnings. And, you know, if you look at revenue growth before the pandemic, it was 40-45%. And, you know, with you know, even this quarter, I mean, quarter two of 2020 was, of course, the first, you know, pandemic quarter. And Fiverr grew 82%. It grew its revenue 82% then. And if you have those comps, I mean, it's very hard to grow. But on top of the 82% growth last year in the second quarter, in this second quarter, Fiverr added another 60%, which I think is really impressive. And, you know, that's also a reason why I think Fiverr is an expensive stock, but it's warranted. And because also Misha Kaufman says, we're seeing that even in, with this hyper seasonality, you know, the trend is not reversing. People, you know, want more and more freelancers to do, you know, certain tasks. And we don't see any change there. That remains the same. We just see that people are a bit less on their screens, but the people who are on their screen, you know, they continue to keep that high level of buying as, you know, during the pandemic. So that is really encouraging if you're a Fiverr shareholder, I think.
That's great stuff, Ryan. Are we going to hit ad?
We've got a few more questions, but first we're going to hit a quick ad break. Welcome back in. Next question for me, I guess, what's maybe the counter thesis for Fiverr? Why would somebody not be short, I guess, but what's sort of the bear thesis? And then why do you think that's wrong?
Well, the bear thesis I have already explained a bit is that, you know, you can work off the platform, or some people believe that it's, you know, a COVID play. I mean, I can see why people think that because their growth went up so much, you know, from 40-ish, 45% to 80% during the pandemic, but they're still growing 60%. And I think, you know, even if they would go back to 40%, which is, you know, not too shabby after all, they can continue that for a very, very long time, because more and more people start to use their services. And, you know, one of the elements that bears use is, you know, it's all right for a freelancer. You know, I mean, as a buyer then as well, but bigger companies won't use it. So that's the crux of a bear thesis a lot of times. And I think that's wrong because if you look at what they are doing right now, in this quarter, 5% of their revenue already came from Fiverr Business. Now, that doesn't sound too impressive, right? But if you know that it only started 3 quarters ago, then 5% of revenue is already quite big, I think. They see the average amount of, you know, a buyer going up as well. I don't remember exactly what it was before, but it's somewhere around 260 $262 per user right now, and it was up quite a bit. It was 180 or so before. You see that even big businesses like Unilever, etc., are using Fiverr as well. You see Fiverr itself scaling up. They have their Fiverr business model, and you can sign up for 3 months or 6 months there. And what you see is that a lot of people already take that 6 month subscription. So what is that actually? You know, for example, you want SEO for Chit Chat Money for the website, right? But you want that each time. You don't want it once as a gig, but you want that on a constant basis. So you can you can go to Fiverr, or if you're a big business, you go to the Fiverr Business, and then you can take as a Fiverr Business, you get a lot more. Normally, the subscription would be $149 a year, which is ridiculous if you're a company, of course. But the first year, it's even free, and you don't even have to give a credit card. You can just try it out. And how has Fiverr that how have they gathered that revenue of 5% already? Just by that take rate of 27.4%, probably it will be lower for business. I'm not sure, but just by not even by the subscription itself. And if you have Fiverr Business, you have a whole virtual room for yourself. If you're a business and you've got somebody working on for example, let's take SEO. Maybe you have another department which wants SEO as well. Well, you can add that other department to the virtual room as well. You can work with, your overseas, company or business there that you work with, and your freelancer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you get a whole virtual room completely dedicated to the project that you can indicate. If you want, you can take different steps in the process, which with dates that you have that they have to be finished. So it's a complete project management system in which you can integrate several freelancers for a certain period of time, for example, 3 months or 6 months, and then you can add someone else for 3 months because you only need that person for 3 months, but the other one you will want for 2 years, and so it's a complete, completely different, unscaled manner of working worldwide with experts. Instead of having, and you don't have to look as a business, Fiverr gives them to you. So you just say, I want an SEO expert. Fiverr says, this is one that we think is good for you because he or she has experience in this, in this space or in this industry that you are in. You talk, you say, okay, or you say, nah, I want someone else. That's okay too. And that's how it works. So it's a completely virtual environment in which you can work together on a worldwide basis with experts in certain areas. And for the sellers, of course, this is very interesting as well, because they don't have to live in a certain place. They can be anywhere in the world, and they can earn their money there with their expertise. So,
right. That makes sense. I think that the Fiverr Business and the Fiverr Expert, that sounds very promising for them. Well, for the stock itself, I think we should talk about the valuation and the multiple a bit. You mentioned the market cap is $8 billion. Can you give a reference to what some of the financials look like? And
are they profitable?
Yeah. And how you think about them going forward when kind of underwriting the investment?
Yeah. Well, they are profitable. I don't remember exactly. I think they have free cash flow or something in the high teens, but I'm not sure. you know, I usually remember a story but forget the numbers, the exact numbers. And, you know, I looked at it last week when the earnings came out. Yeah, they are profitable. They are investing a lot. You know, they are they're in high growth mode, so you don't have to look for profitability as such. It's an expensive stock. I don't know the price, the sales ratio by heart as well. But you always have to look over the long term. And if you look at, you know, how they could grow in the, you know, in the next 5 years, for example, and, you know, what is expensive right now could be very cheap then. So in this kind of area, with those high growths and stocks that have an accelerating trend, and, you know, that acceleration is visible in their revenue growth as well. If they have such an accelerating trend backing them up, I don't think you should sweat too much over the valuation. You know, just scale in slowly. That's what I always say to my subscribers. If you see something very expensive, you know, scale in slowly. And even if you think it's extremely overvalued, well, companies can be overvalued for a very, very, very long period, sometimes years and decades, until all of a sudden, you know, they're not anymore because they have grown into their valuation. And one of the things that I think are very important there and still under stressed in investing are earnings beats. If you look at a company and it's expected to, you know, to grow, let's say 25% per year for 10 years, and it, you know, it beats the earnings on revenue by I made the calculation, but it was somewhere a bit lower than 7%, you know, on average. Then at the end of that decade, they have doubled the revenue. So, you know, those earnings beats compound as well. That's very important. And a lot of people, I don't hear a lot of people talking about that, but it's extremely, extremely important. So, you know, evaluation is always difficult, very subjective in my opinion, because, and of course, you know, I have already said it before a few times. It is an expensive stock, right? It's not that I'm saying that, you know, Fiverr valuation doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter, and it matters in that sense that you have to know that it's an expensive stock, and, you know, the 25% drop on 7% lower guidance, you can expect that with such a stock, right? Or with such an expensive stock. It's just, if you look at for the long term, it doesn't matter that much. You know, I've said that I want 10 baggers over 10 years. And I mean, a 10 bagger is 1,000%. What's 25% then? I mean, if you look at it from that context, it's, you know, and you know, you see the same thing, I think, a while ago, it was at a price to sales ratio 40 plus. If you look at it now, I'm not sure. I haven't looked at the current price to sales ratio, but if you look at it forward, it's 22. And if it you know, if it beats the estimates, you know, it's maybe 20 or so, and the year after it's maybe 15, and then 10, and, you know, that's 3 years. And you could you know, look at a stock that is a lot higher at that moment, and probably a lot of people say, oh, it's crazily expensive still. So if you want these kind of high growers, the volatility is inherent, and, you know, both ways, both up and down, because a lot of people only look at volatility when a stock drops 25%. But, you know, if it goes up 60% in I don't know, 6 months or so, they don't describe it to volatility, right? So volatility works both ways, and you need volatility to have those outsized gains.
Right. You got to expect that with something like this.
Are there any specific financial metrics that you look for, I guess, each quarter, or that any Fiverr shareholder should look for? Is it take rate, revenue growth, anything in particular?
Yeah, those two are especially. So take rate and revenue growth. But I mean, the take rate is very stable. It's also a part of the bear thesis that that some people say, oh, they can never sustain that high of a take rate. So they you know, their strength is used against them. But they have been, you know, still expanding it and, you know, making it a bit higher each time. So yeah, that's that. The gross margins, they have very high gross margins. I don't remember exactly, but somewhere 82-84%, something like that, which also says that they can, you know, monetize this very well if they want it to. So and again, it's already profitable. I don't remember exactly how much EPS or they had. Earnings per share, but you know, it was positive. It's very important to look at revenue growth, because if you look at studies, they show that revenue growth is about 3/4 of stock price appreciation over a 10-year period. If you look at a 1-year period, the most important factor is valuation. But if you look at the 3-year periods, the revenue growth has already taken over versus valuation. And over a 10-year period, valuation is, depending on the study, on the studies, there are a few 1% or 5% of the total stock return. So that's why I focus on revenue, because that's the most important factor about, again, depending on the study and the time period, et cetera, 70 to 75% of the stock return is correlated with revenue growth. Of course, revenue growth as such, you also have to look at the quality of revenue growth. If you have, you know, a company like Uber, for example, has, you know, I haven't checked it lately, so maybe I'm wrong and I'm angering Uber shareholders here, but when it came public, especially if you looked at the unit economics, it was terrible. I mean, they really bought their revenue, and you always have to see that operating leverage, that the higher revenue goes, the better the, you know, the other profitability ratios should be as well. So that's important to look at. So there has to be a correlation between those two.
Okay, and we talked about Fiverr Experts a bit, we talked about Fiverr Business, and we talked about the subscriptions. And if you have anything else on those, because those seems like important growth drivers going forward, if you have anything else on those, feel free to add. But one other question we want to ask is the Working Not Working acquisition that Fiverr made. How do you think that fits into the company?
Yeah, well, first I'll go back to subscriptions, because there are actually two kinds of subscriptions. And Fiverr subscription is actually meant for, you know, buyers. So the other one that I talked about, subscription for the sellers, is called, is it Plus? Yeah, I think so. So Fiverr Plus, I think. So let's talk about subscription. It's a bit the same as business, but without the virtual room, etc. But, you know, you guys, that would be perfect for you if you want a service, you know, somebody who always does the editing of your podcast. You have you found someone that you really like, you can take a subscription to that particular seller. And so that's from the buyer side. And I think that's important too, because that creates recurring revenue, both for the, you know, Fiverr, but also for the seller, of course, which, you know, is an advantage as well. So there are quite a lot of, you know, things going on, and they all point into the same direction. And now I'm coming to that acquisition of Working and Not Working. And Working Not Working is actually a high quality creative agency. And it shows the same thing. So it's about going up market for Fiverr. It's about, you know, appealing to those big companies, to those enterprises that also want to work with freelancers, but you know, their needs are a little bit different there. And so working, not working is, you know, they have worked with, you know, the big boys. I remember Google, I think Amazon as well, or no, it was Apple. Doesn't matter. But, you know, if you have that kind of clients, then you know that you're really upmarket. By the way, when I went to Fiverr in 2015 or so, you only had, you know, just to use the cliche, but that Pakistani guy who, you know, did some logos in their free time. Now, for example, if you want you also have pros, and that's about 1% of sellers. And Fiverr, you know, really checks them. They have to go through a process. They have to show their work, etc., to prove that they are real experts in their field. And then, you know, once they are approved, they are pro. They can ask a bit more. And as a buyer, you know, this is a really good one. I'm paying a bit more, but this is a really good one. And I've used Pro as a buyer myself, and you know, those people are really, really good. And you don't have to, you know, second guess, because you know, maybe is this a good one? Okay, it's a Pro. Don't worry about it. It's good. You know, instead of maybe, I don't know, $20, you'll pay $120, but you know, it's still cheap if you compare it to, you know, if you have to go to the local, you know, freelancer or whatever. And it's often, you know, very high quality work. And you can, you know, ask for limited, unlimited revisions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you have that pro angle as well. And, you know, working, not working. For example, one of the, by the way, this is an anecdote, one of the people who has been approved as a pro is the guy who created the Apple logo. He's on Fiverr as well. So starting his his basic gig is $10,000 and then going up.
Yeah, good. He's got the track record for.
Yeah, sure. But you see that kind of thing more and more, and those people were not there 5 years ago. That's what you see. The quality goes up and up and up. And I think a lot of people who don't use the platform don't see that. And they still see it as the crappy platform it was 5 years ago, which was my mistake initially as well. When Fiverr had its IPO, I was not interested because of that. And it's only because of Clayton Christensen that I, you know, had a second look. And then I went on the platform again as a buyer, and I saw, you know, that the quality had improved. You know, it was unrecognizable. So also one of the things that Fiverr is extremely good at is removing all friction. And, you know, that was also something that, you know, I hadn't used it for a few years, and, you know, it's so frictionless now. It used to be harder to, you know, more clicking, et cetera. And, you know, the one time clicking of Amazon has been a great success. Well, you have the same on Fiverr actually, and it's a very smooth process. You know, the first time you have to set up a little bit, but then afterwards, you know, so easy. So working, not working, same thing. It gives Fiverr that you know, that up market feeling. And, you know, it will be integrated into their business part, especially. So, you know, you get very, very, very creative people for a higher price. But, you know, a lot of companies are willing to pay that for, you know, the best experts in their fields. And Working Not Working has a lot of great creative talent.
All right, well, I think that's all the questions we have for Fiverr. That covers it pretty well.
If you want even more coverage, I'm sure you've written about it on Potential Multibagger. So if you want, you know, all the details, you're going to have to sign up for the research, right?
Yeah.
Of course, and there's a two-week free trial for everybody. If you don't like it, just cancel. One click as well. It's frictionless to cancel as well. I think that's very important. I only want people who are, you know, a happy subscriber, and not people who are locked in. So
perfect. Perfect.
And where can where else can people find you? What's your Twitter handle?
So on Twitter, you can find me on at FromValue, and then on potential. If you Google potential multibaggers, you'll probably find me, or you can go to Seeking Alpha and type potential multibaggers there, or From Growth to Value, and you'll find me as well. So some of my articles are free as well. So if you just want to follow me, if you don't have the money or are not there yet to pay, or just take the 2-week free trial, and you'll learn a few things, I think. And I know I don't mind people canceling. I used to be a teacher, and I'm always happy if people are willing to learn. So I still I have that feeling that if somebody could just learn a thing or two in those 2 weeks, I'm already happy as well.
Perfect. All right. Well, we're going to close things out. So we want to remind everybody that we are not financial advisors. Anything we say or discuss here on Chit Chat Money is not formal advice or a recommendation. Brett and I are general partners at Arch Capital. So any positions or securities discussed, clients may have positions and securities discussed in this podcast.
There you go.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next time.